Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a Riverdale. Oh, no, not Riverdale. So the TH report. Oh, my gosh, getting my singing mixed up. Nailed it, Carla. Nailed it. Hey, everybody. Welcome everybody to the GH Report, bringing out all the craziness that's happening on the great, for all the great people living in Port Charles, New York there. I'm General Hospital, airing weekdays on ABC. I'm Frank Moran.
And I'm Carla Renata. What's up, y'all?
Hey, everybody. So a little different as usual. Usually Carla and I are sitting next to each other in a very swanky looking studio. But given what's happening in the world right now, everybody's being cautious about what they're doing. AfterBuzz is no exception. So for the next few weeks, everybody's going to be doing their after shows at home, joining each other through the power of the web, coming together.
Yes. So let me do a roll call. Let me just say hi to everybody that took time out. I know y'all are shut in and you ain't got nothing else better to do. But let me just shout y'all out. Rue Wood, Anna Robertson, Jasmine Edwards, Annie Goen, Mary, Stuart Pierce, Michael B. What's up, Michael B? Loretta Johnson. Let me see. Jasmine Edwards, Dolores Leach, Sam Pibon. Thank you, Sam. Yes, my family's great. And Shakira Pickens. Thank y'all for joining us today. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. So the great thing about this is that both myself and Carla, as well as all of you watching, get a little sneak peeks into our lives here. So right now you can see Carla right there at her corporate headquarters. This is where all the key decisions are made for expanding media empire.
This would be my office / guest room. That's why there's that futon behind me. That's what I put. If you saw the rest of this room, you would gag because it looks a hot mess. But you don't need to see that. You just need to see this.
I don't know. Well, I showed everyone. The hot mess is going on behind me here, guys. There's a big hot mess up in there.
That actually looks really cool. What do you have back there? A bunch of movies?
A bunch of comic book stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. That's bunch of nerdy cool, stuff, Carla.
It looks really cool. Like, it looks really
well,
cool.
That's at very least, kind of you.
At least you can't see the ring light reflection of your ring light in the reflection of your poster on the wall.
No, I'm using that super cool technology.
I'm like, a sister needs to be lit. You know, I'm a black person. I can't be looking like a raisin.
I just opened up a blind. That's what I did. Opened up a blind.
You opened up a blind.
So, folks.
Yeah.
We're going to jump right into all the excitement that happened here for General Hospital this past week. We'll go into excruciating detail like we always do. But before we get into that, Carla, I know you weren't in studio last week because you were working on some cool stuff. You got a chance to call in for a little bit. What did you think this week?
This week was kind of a snooze fest a little bit. And I did not like, so usually, you know, when somebody dies on GH, they have these big elaborate, you know, funerals. And I just felt like Taggart's funeral was kind of poop butt. It was like, what was that? It was so tired. I was like, really? And then we just go. I mean, I know from watching a lot of cop shows that whenever a cop dies, they usually get together in a bar and they usually have his flag or his badge number and a picture of him. And they, you know, usually give him a toast. Like, I watch enough cop shows that they always do that when somebody loses their life in the line of battle or on duty, but I just felt like it was so lackluster. But what was not lackluster is they are giving my girl Trina and her mama Portia, they're giving them a lot to do and a lot to say, and I think they are totally rising to the occasion.
I would agree on that. I mean, it's because I know we talked a few weeks back, but did Taggart need to die in the storyline? Would he die in the storyline? Is he faking his death to keep everybody safe?
Right.
Right now I'm of two minds. The show could go either direction. You could say Taggart is dead and we're just going to roll into a storyline where Curtis is going to be revealed to be Trina's real father. Mm-hmm. Or you could wait 3 or 4 months and then Taggart comes back and either is Trina's real father or finds out that, wait, I really wasn't the father of this girl that I loved so much. So I don't know which way they would go. What do you think?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know which way they would go. I don't know if they're going to bring him. Well, you know what? We never really saw him. That's actually a good point because we never really saw him expire. We just saw a bunch of people run into the room and then them say, oh, yeah, he's dead. And then Trina kind of crying over him, but not for a long period of time because they kind of ushered her out of the room real quick. But we never really saw them take him off of any tubes or anything like that. So that's actually a really good observation. I think that there's going to be a big blow up between Portia and Jordan and Curtis and Trina that hasn't already happened. Like, we had like a little mini blow up this week, but I think it's about to get really ugly and real, especially if Jordan ends up following through with this threat from Cyrus.
Well, we saw at the funeral, Laura convinces Curtis to go because Laura really laid into that. You were Taggart's partner. You were Taggart's partner. And Trina really lays into Curtis.
She led.
Thinking about Curtis laying into, or Trina leaning into Curtis.
But we knew Trina was going to have a problem with Curtis because remember when everybody was coming up to her at the hospital saying, we're so sorry for your loss. And she shot him that look. And that
I think Carla's frozen, right?
Ooh, she shot him that look like she was going to drop kick him where he stood. I was like, ooh, no. I'm like, what's up with that? And I have to say, I'm really disappointed that they brought back a character that was a huge character on GH back in the day and brought him back for like a millisecond. Like, that kind of annoyed me a little bit. But then, you know, maybe like you said, they'll bring him back and he didn't really die because we never really saw him die. So, yeah.
Oh, well, look who decided to come back to the show.
Oh, what happened? You froze a little bit?
Yep.
You froze?
I thought you froze. I thought you froze.
Did I freeze?
You froze to me? Yeah.
I did. Oh, I was just talking. What was the last thing you heard me say?
I just said, how did you feel about Trina laying into Curtis? And then you were frozen.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know.
I was talking for 5,000 years. You didn't freeze on my end. Okay, so, and I didn't see myself. Did I freeze again?
Uh-oh.
Did I freeze again?
Oh, no.
Did I freeze again? Am I freezing again? Oh my God. Oh, because I'm like, hey. Oh, the guys told me that Frank keeps freezing. Okay. So I'll just talk to the chat room while we work this out.
Oh, there we go.
Are you back?
I'm back again. We'll try this one more time.
Are you back?
Well, let's see. Okay. See how long this one lasts.
Yeah, they said that you're the one that's freezing in the chat room. They said, Frank, you're freezing, man. Okay. So, all right. So I'll talk to y'all.
Yeah, I'm.
It says no Carla. So it says no Carla Frank froze. Okay. So I'll just talk to y'all. Let me just go back through the chat room. Okay. So. Frank, you there? Frank, you hear me?
Hi, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Frank? Hello. Hello. Can you guys hear me in the chat room? Yeah, I can hear you.
Here. Now everybody on the stream can hear me. Hi guys, it's Vito. Sorry that there's so much going on with this right now. I will try to let's see if we can get Frank back in here. Here's a silly man just himself. Frank, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Anybody?
Frank, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Frankie.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Somebody said this is like a Verizon commercial from 15 years ago.
You're
that's
definitely correct.
What it feels like.
Oh my gosh.
So they say they can hear me, but they can't hear Frank.
Frank, can you speak? Frank, can you hear me?
You know what? I you know what I'll do, guys? I will hop out because I keep crashing. Can
okay.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Uh oh.
So okay. Frank's crashing on us.
Yeah, so I'm gonna jump out.
All right, Carla, can you cover GH alone?
I can cover GH alone.
All right, guys, all right, everybody say bye to Frank in chat. Thank you
bye,
very much, Frank.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Frank. Thank you guys for sticking around. Carla, have an excellent rest of your show.
No worries.
Thank you so much.
No worries. So you guys, it's a solo journey. Frank was freezing, and I saw in the chat room that you guys were telling me that he was freezing. So there's that. But I'm back. So can you hear me now? Yes, you can. Great. All right. So let's just finish talking about General Hospital, shall we? Somebody said, okay, and this is supposed to be better than doing it in person. Well, you know what, Dolores Leach? It's a process. This is the first time we've ever been faced with this situation. And they have over 300 shows that they produce at AfterBuzz, including the shows for Black Hollywood Live and Popcorn Talk. And there's only a handful of producers and engineers available. So they're doing the best that they can. Bless their hearts. I am not mad at them. But why doesn't Frank call in? I don't know if we can, we haven't quite figured that out yet because we're not in the studios. We're at home and they're not at the studios. They have a makeshift studio someplace else. So, I mean, he could call in and I could put him on speakerphone, but that's doing a whole lot. Let me see if I can get him on the phone though. Let me see if that even works. Let's just see if that even works. I will try to get him on the phone and see if we can work that out. It may, if it backlashes, then I'll leave it alone. But I'm calling him now. Let's see if that works out. Let's see if we can get Frank.
Carla?
Hey, Frank. So the guys, the chat room said, why don't you call Frank on the phone? So I've called you on the phone.
Oh, my goodness. Look
and,
at that.
And we'll see if this works. Can you guys, let me know if you can hear him, guys.
Can you hear me, everybody?
I think they probably can. So if they couldn't, they would have said something by now. Because, you know, the GH Report fans, honey, they're very vocal. They would let us know.
That's true. They're not shy.
They are not shy. So where did we leave off? We were talking about Trina.
Yes, Trina laying in to Curtis. Did you enjoy her laying in?
Yes, I was down for all of that. I really was. They said they're not mad. They're telling people to stop complaining. They said, call in. And I'm like, I have him online, y'all. And I think the chat might be a delay, but if you can hear us, let us know. but if you can hear me, you can hear him. So, cause I have the volume up. So there's that. Yes. They said they can hear you. Okay, good. Let's continue. So, I liked Trina laying in. I liked seeing Trina be more than just like, oh my God, hi, you guys. It's so great to see you. Hey, Josh, let me cheer you up. Hey, Cameron, let me cheer you up. It was nice to see her have a moment and have them be there for her for once.
I agree.
You know? Let's talk a little bit about, while we're on the subject, talking about Jordan and Curtis. Now, maybe I saw this wrong. Did we see a picture of TJ where he looked like he had been beat up and he was kind of hanging by his arms?
Well, I guess he was like maybe in a chair or something, kind of tied up.
So, okay. Yeah. And so that was sent to Jordan, right?
It was. I mean, like I, you knew this was coming, but you hadn't heard from DK in days.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, so he's tied up. And so now I feel like Jordan feels like she has no choice. But baby, the twist I didn't see coming, we're going to talk about in just a second. I don't want to go there just yet. But what I do want to talk about is how Liesl has found herself in jail yet again. Poor Miss Liesl. She is just catching all kinds of hell. I don't feel too bad for her, though, because she kind of put herself in that situation.
It is interesting, and I felt like the show was honest in setting up some of those last couple storylines that Franco would, when he was talking with Liesl, calling him on the head, that planted enough seeds about in Franco's head that when Liesl was like, no, I'm being set up. It's like, you've already done a couple things to me that are kind of shady, so.
Yeah. I feel like Franco and Nina have kind of had their fill of Liesl. And even Maxie kind of turned on her. Maxie's like, there's only so many times I can forgive her. I can't believe she did this. How could she do this? And I kind of feel for her because this is the one time where she's not guilty. And I kind of feel bad that Peter has covered his butt yet again. Like, when is he going to be found out? You know what I'm saying?
It's only a matter of time. He's going to get exposed.
And then he had his mama in on it. Like, he got Anna in on it, or Anna. He got her in on it and had her all up in Liesl's face with the popo. I'm like, oh, y'all just doing too much.
That was so crazy to me. That the way they're writing Anna in this, where she is so, that she's clearly blinded by her relationship with Peter, that she cannot see him for who he really is.
I know, but this is the other thing, and somebody in the chat room brought this up. I'm gagging over the fact that every time Liesl says, Peter set me up, Peter August did this, they're like, Peter would never. Like, when did everybody get so, like, pro-Peter? Like, this is the same person who was running around killing people and working with Valentine. Like, when did everybody get, oh, Peter would never? Y'all, they are killing me with that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only one that's at least buying or not buying it right now is Robert.
Yeah.
I felt like Finn might, like, play along.
Yeah.
I don't know yet if he's playing along yet or not. Because, I mean, the fact that he apologized to Peter and said, all right, Anna, I'll go home with you. I don't think he'd play around with Violet like that.
No. And, speaking of Violet, let's just segue for a second to my little boo-boo Violet. How cute is she? Every time she opens her little mouth and with her little lisp, it's just way too cute. I can't handle her.
Oh, just wanted to show Max your drawings.
She is so cute. And I love how they had the little skates that were perfect for her little feet, but we never actually saw her put them on.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, they look like they fit her feet, but we never actually saw her in the skates. And then I love how they had her saying off screen, look, daddy, look. I was like, y'all better work that for every crumb it's worth. That made me laugh out loud. That was pretty funny.
I did enjoy the scene with Anna and Stone Cold, with Jason, where Jason's like, hey, it's really Peter. You were just too, you're blinding yourself deliberately.
Yeah, she is truly blinded by the light. I'm like, I don't know what to say about her. She is truly blinded by the light, for real though. I'm like, what is happening, girl? You were the one that was all about finding out what he was doing. And now that you done found out, you trying to cover him. Like, I get trying to cover for your kid. I really do. But she taking it to a whole new extreme. I just can't handle it.
Well, I mean, like, she's frustrating me, and then to go back, because you're talking about Jordan and Curtis.
Yeah.
Jordan is tremendously frustrating me at the moment, because her bullheadedness, her refusal to let Curtis in, coming out, she constantly keeps everything for herself and never, lets Curtis know what's up.
But
that's,
I think,
so frustrating to me.
That's part of her MO, though. Like, remember the whole kidney storyline? Like, she did the same thing with that. That's part of her MO. And it's part of her MO because she worked for the DEA. So she's become accustomed through her work of not sharing, right? Because her sharing gets people killed.
Man, you know, but it's like, so far it's not working out great for her because her three partners are dead.
This is true. This is true. I mean, you know, no shade. That's the truth. You telling the truth. But at the same time, I think it's going to put her relationship with Curtis in jeopardy. Because did you see how Curtis looked at Miss Portia? He was like, oh, Portia. I was like, oh.
Yeah. No, I like that Curtis realized, like, that Jordan's reaction was like, huh? And said, hey, if you want to talk to me about Portia, I'm here to tell you. And she passed. So I can see what you're saying, where this could cause a little crack in there, and then you see Curtis and Portia, especially if Trina turns out to be his real daughter.
Right, exactly. So that was interesting. And then it was like, I love anytime she's anywhere and within close proximity of Ava, she just has a nervous breakdown. Like she is not feeling Ava at all.
No, just those scenes in the floating rib where Trina hugs her and Portia's just shooting at Ava that look like, oh, what are you doing?
That is just pure comedy. And then I love how she had that honest moment at the Metro Court where she, you know, said to Franco that, you know, I think it was last week where she told Franco that she knows she overstepped and that her mom was right, but it reminds her so much of Kiki. And I think that was a real moment for her where she realizes she's still grieving. You know, I think she thought she was moving on from that grief, and she realizes that her relationship with Trina has kind of put her back in that space involuntarily. And she's...
I agree there. Because the other one is being... involuntarily is your boy Matt.
Oh, he is just, but I'm kind of glad. I'm so tired. I got so tired of seeing him skulking around. I got tired of seeing him, you know, threatening Julian or, you know, reaching out to Julian to figure out what next crazy plan they were going to hatch. So I was kind of glad to see him in a, you know, put away for a minute. But then I was also glad to see that his best friend showed up. Britt is back.
Yes.
Britt came back and she was like, but I also love how she came back and she is true blue friend, because she went in when she went over to Charlie's to see Julian and had that cocktail, and she was all, so isn't, she said, I find that so interesting that Brad was able to keep that secret all by himself. And you saw Julian kind of go, had that like lump in his throat, kind of take a swallow moment.
No, it's true. Because like every time Julian thinks like, all right, my bases are covered, I'm good. Somebody else comes up and goes, excuse me.
And then she just, and after she had her way with him for a minute, she full on fessed up and she was like, yeah, I know that you were working with him. And she's like, what would make you do that? And then what was really odd for me is that the conversation went from that to them knocking boots in the basement.
Yes.
That was the weirdest turn of events ever. Where her she's giggling all through it. Giggle, giggle, giggle. I'm like, y'all are killing me right now.
Yeah, I was like, what's your plan? Because I love the idea of Britt being there to help Brad with Belle.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Julian, I was like, is she doing this and trying to go over on Julian somehow? I don't know or she's just doing this because she's the one who loves him.
I think it was a little bit of both. I think she was trying to let him know, look, you're not the only person that knows the secret, and I could blow your cover sky high. But I also felt like, you know, it probably had been a minute for her. So she was like, you know, let me just knock boots real quick and get over myself. But that made me laugh out loud because she was giggling through the whole thing. But I have to say, I know that those scenes are choreographed, and that scene was choreographed really, really well, because we didn't see nothing. Because this is network daytime TV. We ain't supposed to see nothing, but every once in a while we do.
Now, since this whole baby swap storyline started, everybody kept talking about it. We even talked about it. What would happen when Sunny... Were you satisfied with Sonny's interaction with Brad?
Yeah, because, you know, I think Sunny has learned, especially with this whole Cyrus thing lurking in the background, he's learned that he has to kind of keep his cool sooner than later. So he knew that popping off on Brad wouldn't do him any favors. And that it doesn't take much to intimidate Brad. The simple fact that Sunny walked in the room where Brad was bad enough, you know, because he has been anticipating this for a whole year. So now that moment has finally arisen, and he's like, yeah, so I'm going to need you to change your testimony.
You know, I feel like I'm a little tired, though, and maybe because they've been used so often, you know, the cliche, but it's some of these things threatened by an officer or somebody of, you know, that they know they have some kind of power behind.
Yeah.
Are you going to hurt me now? Like, what? What?
Why? Yeah, he gonna drop, right? That was a stupid question, because really, he's a mobster. It's like, remember that scene in Goodfellas where at the end where Henry Hill finally gets caught, and the cop is in the window going, "Drop it, don't move," and you hear the voiceover of Henry Hill say, "If that had been a good fella, I would have never heard it coming. So I knew it was a cop, because only cops talk like that." It's the same way. Yes. Sonny is not going to tell Brad what he's going to do to him. Why? So Brad can go and tell somebody and have him jack it up? That's not going to happen.
No. I'm throwing out, as we talk, but my prediction for where this is heading is that Cyrus is in Pendleville, Brad's going to Pendleville. I feel like Brad's going to get mixed up into the Cyrus storyline. And they could totally use it, much like they did with Sonny when he helped Alan Mayer's daughter. That Brad could do something to help take down Cyrus and get his sentence reduced.
You know, that's actually, you look at you. You are chock full of ideas in storylines today. Look at you, Frank Moran. you are off and cracking. You got your detective hat on today.
There you go. I mean, it's like, you know, but it's also, we've seen the show enough to know when, if somebody's going to prison, if somebody's already in prison, chances are they're going to cross paths.
Yeah. But how about this? How about, I kind of didn't see Nell getting off. Did you see that coming, that she was not going to go back to jail?
I mean, I guess you need it for the sake of the story. Otherwise, it's you know, she goes back to the mountains. She didn't get
And let's just talk about for a brief second. Let's just flip over to that 10-second proposal that Michael did to Sasha. Like, I don't know in what world they thought that was going to work. Like, she got a record, you got a record. That's not going to look good in family court, my brother. Like, how did you think that was going to work?
Yeah, not the smartest thing there, Michael. But at least I like Diane copping to it. It's like, or maybe I was a little presumptuous when I said, oh yeah, you should get married.
Yeah, not. But you know what? I feel like this is also setting up a Michael Willow storyline too, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it's like, but who could I marry right now? Oh, you could marry Willow. So she's sympathetic with the judges. She's, as they said, like Mary Poppins.
Yes, and then there's the conflict of Willow and Sasha are friends. So, you know, Willow and Michael had that connection when they were going to the therapy group together. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and how Sasha reacts to it. And then, you know, Sasha's getting close to Nina. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if this gets messy, if Nina would be willing to help Sasha in that regard. Like, I could see there's a multitude of possibilities with that storyline. I'm down for all of that. I really am.
I did like that scene between Nina and Willow, though.
Yeah, it was a nice scene. There's been some really nice scenes this week. I liked, and I can't remember if it was this week or last week, there was a scene between Neil and Alexis where they discussed, they discussed their knocking boots. They discussed
that was it this week.
Okay, so go ahead.
That scene was fine. What I didn't like was the super convenient plot device of, oh, we both ended up in the same exact seats
for the opera.
Oh, you're kidding! God, that killed me.
Yeah, and then they were at the same hotel. It was just, I'm like, okay, y'all. Like, that's just too much.
And the way they shot that hookup, there's one shot where they cut back to the aisle, or the hallway, looking at the door to that Alexis's room, and where it makes it look like somebody was watching. So I'm sure somebody, I think it's going to blow up the fact that they lied about not hooking up to the board. I think that's going to blow up in their faces.
Yeah, I think it is. They're in the chat room talking about Neil and Alexis are so dry. They are dry, but they kind of cute. Like, it's something kind of innocent about them and they're hooking up and them liking each other. Like, it's not like when, you know, Alexis hooked up with Julian, or when she hooked up with Sonny, or when she hooked up with Rick. Like, it's very different than any of those relationships. Like Rick and Sonny and Julian, they all had kind of mobster-ish ties, and Neil doesn't have any mobster. Like, he's probably the most normal dude she's been dating in a minute. So I kind of like them hooking up just for the fact that he's normal. So we
very
think,
true.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like he's going to be normal until the writers decide, oh, but he's really not normal. He's a freak. And there's always a freak.
I hate you so much right now. Oh, my goodness. Let me see. What else did I miss? Oh, and I kind of love that Aunt Stella returned. I like Aunt Stella popping in from time to time. But I also, yeah. I liked when she popped in, how she, you know, was the voice of reason for Curtis when, yet again, Jordan was being all weird and shady. And she was like, you know, something has to be going on with her. Because remember, this is the same chick that kept the kidney thing from us. She's trying to protect us, but she's not doing a very good job. And as her family, I want to be there for her. But she knows that by telling Curtis and Stella, it's going to put them in danger. Because I'm trying to figure out how Cyrus seems to know everything, because Harmony can't be, oh, I said it. I said the H word. She can't be everywhere.
No, that's really true. I mean, that's just, it was so frustrating. Just tell Curtis what's up. Just tell Curtis.
Yeah, I feel like Curtis can help squash all of this. But now that I've mentioned the H word, let's just talk about, I did not see that coming. Did you see that coming with Harmony?
No, that was interesting. It makes me question if Harmony's going to make it through this or not.
Probably not. Because, you know, she's been on the peripheral for a minute. And and what I really hated is that she went over to Willow's and was like, I want you to know I'm doing everything I can. Miss Thing, no, you not. If you hooked up with Cyrus, you not. Like, that is not you doing everything you can to be a better mother. Duh-uh. Like, hello. That is not the move, honey.
I like if he came out early and now he owns me.
And then Jordan asking, you know, how, because I was curious. So when Harmony actually showed her face, and we're like, oh, so she's the henchman for Cyrus? Okay. When that happened, and then Jordan's like, how did you get hooked up with him anyway? And she says that Cyrus helped her pull strings to get out of jail early. But that still doesn't explain how she met him. That explains what he did to get her out. She never really said how she met him.
No, I agree. It's like, okay, sure.
Like, homegirl asked her a specific question and she did not give a specific answer. So I'm like, okay. Ooh, wouldn't that be crazy if he turns out to be her father as opposed to Shiloh?
Man,
of it all.
I'd be curious to see where this. I mean, I feel like Cyrus has probably got to get out of jail to truly become menacing.
Yeah. I feel like he eventually has to get out, because there's only going to be so much threatening and popping off at the mouth he can do in jail. And I think he's probably going to come for Laura when he does, because Laura let him have it.
Yeah. No, that's true. One other thing that I liked this week, though, too, was Diane laying into Jason and Sam. Loved it.
But she's been laying into them a lot lately. Like, I feel like at least once a week she goes off on them.
I would have been fine if the whole episode was just her just laying into that. There was no other scenes, just her for 42 minutes just laying into Sam and Jason about why they're being big dopes.
Yeah, and they don't really care. Like, they just look at her like, and.
Yeah.
They just kind of look at her like, and so what? What do you want?
Oh, the other storyline we got too this week is Mike, where he's seems like he's heading towards his final days.
Oh, right. When little Miss Brooklyn brings him the meatballs and the sauce and all of that. I was like, oh, you know what I really love about Brooklyn is mouthy and as rough as she can around the edges as she can be. She really softens up when it comes to Mike. And I'm really interested to know why that is. You know, like I don't get why she's so extremely kind to Mike.
Well, I mean, I guess it's that he's from the old neighborhood, like you said. So if you're from the old neighborhood, your family.
Yeah. I wonder how, which brings me to the question of, I wonder how they're going to finish his storyline, because it's been going on for quite some time and they've started to accelerate his memory loss. I wonder how they're eventually going to dump out of that. I hope that they do it. I hope that they do him some dignity. I hope that they don't just have a situation where they're talking about he's no longer being there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope they give him some dignity. And let me just flip back to Brooklyn one more time. That scene where she is in the bathroom singing and pretending like she's accepting an award. For all of the hype about how fierce of a singer Brooklyn is, I was like, not from what I just heard. That was like mediocre at best, I'm just saying.
You know, it's one of those things, it's one of my least favorite contrivances they do on any TV show is where somebody's winning an award because they don't have the budget to really make it look like a real Oscars or a real Grammys or Emmys. So it's always just this rinky-dink little curtain that they're standing in front of, like 1 foot in front of. And it just looks so budget.
It was so ghetto. I was like, y'all are killing me. So Frank, where do we think, what are your predictions for next week? What do you think is going to go down?
I'm curious because the Brooklyn storyline, it's not going as quickly to her immediately selling the stocks as I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking that they're giving Brooklyn, you know, some intelligence. She's asking her manager, why do you want this? She's being smart about that. Mm-hmm. And I liked her, like, hey, all right, let me, after that conversation with Mike, really deciding to embrace family and work at the ELQ for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm digging that. I feel like there's going to become like some kind of major crash and burn that happens for ELQ that allows her to sell the stocks eventually.
I would hate to see her do that. That's going to put the family in such a vulnerable position.
No, that's true. I mean, I feel like it's, we have to wait until Michael and I comes back and we find out how much stock that he's gotten. But the fact that if he's able to acquire that much stock without any of them knowing, then come on, Ned, you're smart enough. You know what to take over time.
Right? What do we think is going to happen with this whole nail situation?
Man, I have a feeling she could get killed because she seems to have made plenty of enemies around the
house. This is true. But my favorite moment of the week, though, was when Willow threw that drink in her face and she said, I wish she had melted. I laughed out loud when she said that, like, she was the Wicked Witch. And then there was a lot of Wicked Witch references. And then there was the Wicked Witch reference with Olivia and Brooklyn, where she said to Olivia, she says, you know, some stepmothers make looking, well, how she said, some stepmothers make being wicked look really hard, but you make it look kind of easy. I'm like, oh no. I was like, wow, the Wicked Witch references. I can't, but I was loving every moment of it.
There's something about Nell where, you know, she plays her, like, oh, woe is me card, or, oh, I'm just, you know, curious about stuff, I'm concerned about somebody else card, and everybody knows who she is now, and just tries to just shut her down. I'm watching Julian, right, constantly slant and shut Nell down, or Carly's, like, oh, you know, there's something here for you.
Right. Hilarious. And I'm like, why? But this is the thing. Why is she always rolling up in Charlie's? She's always rolling up in Charlie's. I'm like, for somebody who don't have no money, she's always out somewhere where you got to pay for food.
Let me ask you, Carly, if you had a beef with somebody and you walk into a dining establishment and that person is sitting in there, would you stay and just go to another side of the restaurant and eat? Or would you just like, yeah, I can find another restaurant and turn around and leave?
Yeah, I would bounce. Like, life is too short to be that uncomfortable. Like, why would I want to, if I'm spending money in an establishment, I want to spend money and be comfortable and enjoy myself. I don't want to spend money and be miserable.
Yes. You know? I mean, and I agree. And so often, and so I guess it's for better drama. No, no, we're not going to let this person run our lives. We're going to still eat here. Okay, great.
It's just bananas. Well,
you know what was a banana, so Carla was doing the show with you today.
I know. This was kind of fun. I'm glad I kind of, they were like, have him call in. So the chat room hooked us up because I would have been trying to fly solo and it would have been a hot butter mess. But
never, not at all.
But I'm so glad that they made the suggestion to call you because that actually worked out really well on the flip side.
Way to go, chat room.
Hey, go chat room. And yeah, so until next week, Mr. Frank Moran, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me on those Twitters and Instagrams at Happy Go Jackie. Where can they find you, Carl?
Well, y'all can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can also go to thecurvyfilmcritic.com for any of my written reviews about any movies that may be coming your way via streaming or in the theaters if we ever see a theater again. And of course, when season 3 gets up of Focus Features, you know that scene. You can catch me there as well. And of course, you can always catch me on Thursday nights at Superstore on NBC at 8 p.m.
Yeah, look at that. Yay. Just a few of the things that Carla Renato are doing. Trust me, the list is much, much longer.
Oh, and you know what, you guys? If you read Variety, I have a couple of articles in there in the artisan section, so check those out as well.
See, look at that. See, it keeps coming.
Cool. Well, you guys, I think that does it for us for this edition, episode of the GH Report or the GH After Show at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging in there with us with our technical glitches. And like I said at the beginning of the program, this is a new process for us. You know, we're trying to keep the fans happy. We're trying to, you know, make sure that we get the news to you or the gossip to you or whatever it is that we're trying to get to you in regards to General Hospital. We don't want to let you down. So we're trying to work out the kinks and we'll eventually work it out. But we thank you in advance for being patient and hanging in there with us. We wholeheartedly appreciate it. And thank you, Frank, for hopping on that phone and making it all work out.
You call, Carla, I jump.
That's not true. But anyway, you guys, stay healthy, drink plenty of water, stay hydrated, get some rest, stream your heart out, and then come back here at AfterBuzz TV and stream with Frank and I at for the General Hospital After Show. And we'll see you next week. Say bye, Frank.
Bye, everybody.
Our founder, bye, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.